Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
But this word that I'm carrying, I actually received the burden and the assignment of it within this last month, and so it's actually a new message. And as a prophet, you will carry a message to the body for a season, and you'll continue to preach it and proclaim it in different ways until it saturates the atmosphere and the mindset of the body so that it can go. So this is a fairly fresh word. I've actually only preached on the topic twice, and then once a little bit online. So this is the first time of breaking it open here. So let's pray. And Father, we do come before you, Lord, and we ask that you would come with fire to our souls and burn up in us what can be burned. Burn up anything that can be burned. And Lord, we know that your fire is a love fire for those who love you. Your fire is a love fire, and it melts with love, with your love, everything in us, Lord God, that is contrary to your nature. So we say, come with that love fire today and burn up in us what can be burned. And help us, Holy Spirit, to prepare the way of the Lord, that we would be used of you, Lord God, to call down any high mountain of pride or idolatry or anything that is lifted up against your will, that we would, with your authority and with love for you, bring those things down, but that we would call every valley up, everything that is low that should be raised up and seen and operating, Lord, that we would call those things up. And so we receive that anointing, that prophet's mantle, Lord, just like John the Baptist had, to prepare your way. And we receive it for the house, Lord, and for this hour in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you break open this word into our heart. And Lord, as it's proclaimed into the atmosphere, that it would establish a plumb line of your word and your authority and your ways in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Matthew 28 and in Matthew 16 and in Luke 10:19, Jesus teaches his church, his people, that those who believe in him have authority, and that actually as we move forward to proclaim the gospel of his kingdom, that the gates of hell cannot, will not prevail against us, which means we just continue to move forward, releasing his glory, his power, his word, his ways. And that is an invitation for each and every one of us to carry that heart. And so when we see so clearly in scripture that we actually have that authority, a question arises, at least in my heart. Why don't we see it operating? Why don't we see every mountain brought low? Why don't we see every valley lifted up? Why don't we see everything brought into alignment, just like Jesus taught us how to pray that you know, your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And we've been praying that for like 2,000 years. And why do we not see more manifestation of that glory? And so today's message, I believe, is from the Spirit of God to reveal to us something that will be important as we align to see his power in these coming days. And I do want to give a little bit of a warning, maybe not so much in this house because I don't see children in the house right now, but maybe for those of you that are watching online, that this will include adult content. So I just want you to be aware of this. It's just something we need to address. Oftentimes the church just doesn't bother to address things because, you know, it might be overly sensitive, and yet children go into elementary schools and get things that we would never talk about in church. And it's time that we spoke the truth in love and released a plumb line that is really important in this hour. Isaiah 60, as you know, in this house, it's a life scripture for me, the whole chapter. I received it as a brand new believer, and it's been alive in me for all these years, and I believe that we're living in it right now. But clearly, there is two tracks that we see the Lord reveal through that chapter. And the greatest track that is revealed in Isaiah 60 is a track of his glory, his great glory that is going to manifest through his people who arise and shine. And that it is going to come in the time when there's another track. And it's a track of darkness. Great darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness of people. But it's in the midst of that that we see his glory arising through his people, so much so that kings will come to the brightness of the rising. Nations are going to come to the brightness of that glory. There is going to be an influx of souls into the kingdom, and also resource is going to come. It's very clear in that prophetic word. And this is an end time word. You know, they're going to bring the oil, the gold, the spices, everything is going to come in. You can read Isaiah 60 and just rejoice over every single verse of it. And there's only half a verse that actually talks about the darkness. The rest of it is glorious. But it does show two tracks. And the thing is, we get to choose which track we live in. Because that track of darkness, even though it's only half of a verse, and that's intentional by the Spirit of God, because he wants to focus on what's good and not what's evil. And as people of God, live in the goodness of God. Live in his goodness. Have an expectation for goodness. Have an expectation for the glory to be made manifest. Have an expectation for miracles, signs, and wonders. That's where God wants us to live. At the same time, though, we need to be aware of some things so that we can put out the darkness with our light and make sure that we don't imbibe ourselves of that darkness, because it's a very dangerous thing. Darkness will take you out. And so we need to be careful of that. So what gives us operative authority and what strips us of it? What is it that will enhance the authority that we operate in? Kingdom authority, where we have been given that power, we've been given the authority by the Lord. But what empowers it? And I'm telling you, it's being in his presence. And you can take classes and open up books and learn all kinds of things and fill your head with so much understanding, but it's still not going to release power and authority. Because kingdom power and authority actually comes from the Lord himself and from his presence. And knowledge helps. But if it's separate from presence, it is not going to produce kingdom. And I just want to throw in this right now as a little promo. Join us for prayer in the morning here, because it's like that place where you connect with God. You know, and we should all be doing that personally, but also as a house, when we come into prayer and we say, God, we're here because we love you and we want you. We want to bless you. We want to serve you. We want to partner with you. We want to hear from you. And there's a connection that begins to fill you and enhance operative authority. And too often, especially in Western Christianity, we live in our heads. You know, we live in what we know, in what we understand, in what we've learned from, you know, the latest lecture or whatever. But it's what you learn from presence. It's what you experience in presence that is the real meal deal. And so if we want to see more manifestation of fruitfulness in our life, it's going to come out of presence. So I want to highlight that. But it also comes with aligning yourself to God's word and his ways. That is what gives authority. Righteous acts, righteous behaviors, righteous mindsets. And what strips us of authority is sin. It's sin. It just is. We got to preach it. We got to let people know about it and warn everyone. We don't want to become sin conscious, but we need to understand how treacherous it is in the life of a believer, because it will separate you from what God has for you. And in a world that is so confused, in a world where we're seeing good being called evil and evil being called good, it is very important that we, the church, and especially in Shiloh here, because we're responsible for this house, that we all know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, and that we choose what is right, because that is what will enhance our authority. When you give over to the enemy, he comes in When he dangles sin in front of you, this is, you know, confirmed right out of the book of Genesis. Just in the beginning, you can see this. He dangles a temptation in front of you, and as soon as you bite into that apple, he's got you. And he says, okay, I got your authority now. I just stripped you of all your authority. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. And that's what will happen to you too if you give him the authority. God has given you his authority, but if you give it over, the enemy will take it from you, and he's not polite about it. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. He had nothing in common with the enemy. So it's dangerous to choose sin. And when you choose sin, you're actually choosing curse. And I just want to highlight something, and I'll try to weave this in a bit throughout the message. But this curse is not only going to land eventually. I mean, there might be a season where you engage in sin and things look like they're working out just fine, you know, because there's a moment of pleasure in it. But eventually, it will end in destruction, that scripture. And so that curse that comes upon you is not only you. It affects those around you. It affects your nation. It affects the church in general. And it affects coming generations. In fact, the scripture says when you choose sin, it affects 3 to 4 generations. That means your children will suffer consequence from it, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-grandchildren, because you chose to violate the Word of God. I know this is tough talk, but sometimes we just need it, right? And I just feel the church in general, and I know most of you here, man, you're on fire. You are crazy, awesome believers who are passionate for the Lord, who live a clean life, who are pure before the Lord. I know you. And so, but I feel I have to preach this message into the atmosphere. It has to go out. So let's all just kind of preach it together here. Okay, so an example. In Deborah's day, in Judges 4, you can read this, is that God's people were oppressed by the Midians for over 20 years. Oppressed. They lost their freedom as a nation, and they were oppressed by an oppressive force. 20 years. That's a long time. That's like if you're 40, for the next 20 years, from 40 to 60, your prime years of life would be consumed with oppression. If you're 20 years old, from 20s, your 30s, and your 40s, you know, would be affected by the oppression, right? And it was because it says it right in the scripture, the reason why they were given over to oppression was because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. But these were God's people. These were covenant people. But God's people had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And so they were given over to a control nation. And I just want you to catch the warning inside of there. Also look at the example of Babylon. So God's people were captive to Babylon. They were held in captivity for 70 years for the same reason. When you read through the Bible, any time that God's people went into oppression or exile or whatever, it was always because of transgression. It was always because they sinned against the Lord. And so they were in captivity to Babylon, which was the most brutal heathen nation of the day. Imagine, what is the most brutal heathen nation of our day? Imagine the USA being held captive by it for 70 years. And don't think it can't happen. The United States has no power without God. We are not the almighty USA. And so if you look at 70 years, think of your children who might be 10 years old right now. 70 years from now, they're 80. And because of our choices to turn away from God, our children could live in captivity their entire life because of our choices. And so this is a very, very heavy thing. I am going to give you some really good news at the end, so hang in there. If we, the church, in any given nation, I know that many online are watching from different nations, so this pertains to any nation, But if we, the church, produce a tipping point of sin in the nation, and we are being weighed in the balance now, by the way. In fact, I think some judgments have already happened. And the way that I look at judgment is not that God's sitting up in heaven saying, oh, you bad kids, I'm going to throw sickness on you and kill you and bomb you and whatever. I don't see judgment like that. This is how I see it. I perceive judgment being a righteous father making appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal, patiently, patiently, patiently giving warning, drawing, inviting people out of sin into righteousness, giving kindness and blessing so that the kindness will lead people to repentance. Patient, patient, patient. And then finally, when he sees, hey, they're still going after the things that hurt them, it's time for me to stand back and just give them over to the consequence of what they have chosen. That's how I see judgment. So the judgment is the actual consequence of our own choices. It's not a God up in heaven saying, oh, I'm going to get you all. It's what we've produced ourselves, actually. But he gives us warning of that. So it's his ways. So it's his judgment. That's the law, the law of his love, the law of his word. And so we, the church, need to produce a tipping point of righteousness, not sin, because as the church goes, so goes the nation. So we have to address the church before we get out there. And I'm not saying stay out of the seven mountains of influence, not at all. In fact, we need to be in there more than ever. But if we're focusing on that before we focus on the righteousness that needs to be inside the church, if we're not focused on the church and we go out there, we're not going to produce anything. We'll yap, yap, yap about seven mountains of influence and, oh yeah, let's get in the government, let's get in the workplace, let's get in media, let's get in the school system, and we can talk about it and we can even be in there, but it's not going to affect anything. It's not going to change anything because we lost our authority and our power because we, the church, aren't aligned in our hearts. And so if we're given over to sin without shame, without any conviction at all, when we give over to it and get a seared conscience, then there is no way we can salt the earth. We will never be able to preserve the earth. So we have to focus on the church first. And when we, the ecclesia, the governing body of Christ in the earth, when we get aligned with God, we are going to have such great authority. It is no problem for God to change the whole world and for righteousness to drop if we will choose him. If we had revival, a revival of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and the atmosphere was impregnated with the fear of the Lord, and it's like when the fear of the Lord comes, you can't even sin if you tried. And God wants to give that, but he's looking for a people who will give birth to that and a people who will align themselves for it. And it's not through mixture. It's not like, yeah, we want that God, but we still want to do this over here. And God needs us to have conviction. I heard that last Sunday's worship was phenomenal, and there was such a spirit of holiness in the house. And we've been praying for that because we know that'll save the nation. And I'm so excited about what God is doing here. It's just amazing. But I want to talk specifically this morning about a specific assignment of the enemy that is assigned to the church today, but also to the world, of course. A lot of the fuel of this comes from the world, but the devil will use whoever he can. And there is strategic attacks that the enemy has planned against the church to bring us down. And it involves sexual immorality and perversion. It is my opinion and my conviction before the Lord that sexual perversion and immorality is the weightiest source and root of evil that is manifesting in the world. It is the source of the waywardness, the confusion of everything that we are seeing. And if we can get this enemy and conquer it in the church, we will see results in the nation. In 1 Corinthians 6, 13 and 19, we're taught that you actually become one with a person that you have sex with. There's a transference. You know, when you have sexual intercourse with someone, there is a possibility, if it is not in a sanctified relationship, which is only marriage, by the way, it's the only sanctified sexual relationship, is in marriage. If you have sex outside of that covenant, outside of God's will, it is a possibility for you to get a venereal disease because it's sexually transmitted, okay? Physical to physical. But not only will there be a transference of virus and bacteria and disease in the physical body, but you will also become one with the person that you're having sex with. I'll read you the scripture to prove it in a moment. And if that person has demons, they will be transferred to you too in the same way that a sexually transmitted disease could be transmitted to you. And so now, if a man, for example, goes to have sex with a prostitute, and that prostitute has had hundreds, which they have, in most cases, hundreds of sexual partners, and they become one with all those partners, and there's been a transmission of maybe disease, but also demons from everyone, and that man now has sex with a prostitute, there's a possibility of physical transference of disease, but also the transference of all those demons, every single last one of them. Then he goes home to his wife and has sexual relationships with her, and now she's innocent, but she gets a transference of demons too because of the breaking of the marriage covenant. This is how dangerous this is. I've lived in the inner city, and I have lived right beside with, you know, helped many prostitutes, pimps, everyone in that sex trade. I've been involved with them, and I'm telling you, there are major spiritual issues with people who have engaged in prostitution. And I just want to say this out loud right now, because many of our young girls, even high school age and college age, are being encouraged to work in strip clubs and everything to pay their way through schools. And they're, you know, when you talk to them, they'll say, I love it because I can make so much money doing it. And I lost my virginity years ago anyway, so it's not a problem. And I thought, oh, it is a problem because your purity and your mind, your soundness of mind is going to be lost because of the transference of demons and because you're becoming one with all the people that you're having sex with. And those girls that are being called into the strip club, believe me, it might be a little dance here and there for a while, but you know where it heads. And their lives are being destroyed. And it's extremely common today. I wish it wasn't, but it is extremely common. So the devil knows the dynamics. That's why, you know, when God says that sexual intercourse is for marriage, is to be contained in marriage, it's for the blessing of it to be kept within the marriage, to strengthen the marriage, to strengthen the family, and to strengthen the nation. But when you violate it, it's not a matter of, oh, well, I'm having more fun now because I'm crossing the boundaries. No, you are actually destroying your life, passing it down to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, etc. And you're infecting the world that you live in. And that's why there's so much mental confusion. Do you know mental illness is so rampant today? Never before has there been so much mental illness. Do you know where a lot of that comes from? Immorality. Sexual perversion. That's where it comes from. And we're trying to treat it with drugs. But we need God. We need a revival. We need people to come to the Lord and get delivered from it. 1 Corinthians 6, 13 to 19. The body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? This is the scripture, New Testament. The apostle of grace wrote that, okay? So we need to take heed to this because of the danger of sexual immorality. And Jesus even pointed out that if a man even thinks on a woman to lust after her, the power of the consequence of adultery works within him, even when it's in the mind. That's how powerful sexual immorality and perversion is. And yet we tolerate, we just tolerate it, and we don't speak up to it. And when was the last time you heard in church a message like this? You know, there's not a lot of it going on. Some of it, but not a lot. In 1 Kings 18, we see Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal and the Asherah, which were demon powers. You know, the spirit of Baal, the spirit of Asherah, the spirit of Jezebel that was involved in fueling the whole thing. They're all immoral spirits, demons that go to pursue the heart of man and bring them into immorality. A worship of sexuality, a worship of perversion. That's what was going on in Ahab and Jezebel's day. That's what exactly was going on. And the land was polluted, and the land was corrupt, and the land was provoking God's anger because of this. And so Elijah, he goes and confronts those who were believing and acting upon this perverse sexuality, the prophets of Baal. By the way, a prophet is one who speaks on behalf of God. And so they were once God's prophets, but now were speaking on behalf of sexual immorality. They were promoting sexual immorality and perversion. So Elijah confronts them, and he says, "Why do you hesitate between two opinions?" What were the two opinions that they were involved in their own heart? Well, they were saying, the Lord is God. Yes, I serve the Lord. I believe in God, but I'm also involved in perversion. And I'm going to be a spokesperson for it, and I'm going to give you excuses as to why it's okay. Okay? They were being spokespeople for it. And it came right from the leader of the nation. It came through Ahab and Jezebel. And, you know, like, I know that the world's political system is just that. It's the world's political system. And that those who fill those positions are just flesh and blood. They've got their issues. But when we start wanting, we want this person in power, we know that they're full of sexual immorality and perversion. It's like, whoa, where are we going? We're trying to call them righteous, and yet we know this is all going on. We need to raise the bar. We need to say we're not going to tolerate this any longer. But instead, we're silent. We say, oh, well, it's just the way they are. It's just the way they are. You know, they're just kind of like that. Everyone's doing it in that realm. And we, the church, have lost our salt because we're not speaking to it and not calling up a righteous standard. We just tolerate it. And that's what had happened in Ahab and Jezebel's day. Right from the top, they were promoting all this sexual perversion. And so Elijah confronts him on Mount Carmel, and he said, you know, if God is God, then worship him. If Baal's God, worship him. But don't hesitate between two opinions anymore. Don't be double-minded anymore. Either serve God or serve Baal, but don't think you can serve both. And he said, we're going to determine, because the one who answers by fire that we sang about today, the one who answers by fire will be the true God. And of course, God showed up because there was a righteous man who had contended way before he confronted them. And he knew what God was going to do. He was a friend of God, and we need to be friends of God. And he was a righteous man that did not have those things going on, that mixture going on in his own mind, heart, and behaviors. He was pure. And that's what God needs today, is pure vessels who will be able to speak the word. Because if you get up to speak a word like this, you better be pure. You better be pure. You better not speak about this stuff if you're not. Because the devil, he'll be tenacious in bringing you down. But righteousness is your greatest protection. The prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Amen? So God shows up, and what did the prophets of Baal say? They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And they acknowledged who the true God was. They came out of their double-mindedness. They came out of their compromise. And they remained out of compromise because they cut their heads off. And, you know, that was the way they did deliverance ministry back in that day. The demons could not operate after that. Not in those guys anyways, okay? Aren't you glad we just say, come out now in Jesus' name? Amen. Go and get a massage session. Get those demons out of you, I tell you. What makes me sad about Elijah's story, because I'm glad that he confronted them, but what makes me sad is that there were 7,000 prophets who did not bow their knee to Baal, which is a good thing. They weren't imbibing in the immorality and the perversion. So they were separate unto God. They said, we're not going to involve ourselves in that perversion. We're not going to get involved in that immorality. No, we're set apart for God. But they were hiding out in caves. So even though they had not bowed their knee to Baal, they weren't confronting Baal either. And prophets are to bring confrontation. That's part of the role of a prophet, is to bring a righteous plumb line for the people of God. And it's not just about, oh, the Lord loves you with an everlasting love, even though that is all part of it. And of course, the plumb line's included in that. But we need to understand the role of the prophet is to bring righteous plumb line, which is what Elijah did. Our nation is being assaulted today by Jezebel, Baal spirits, and many in the church are buying into demonic agendas, giving themselves over to perverse practices, including pornography, including unrestrained fantasies within the mind. And we need to stop it. And I'm not speaking condemnation over anyone, believe me. I have compassion for anyone that is being ensnared because I know who's behind it. There's an evil demon behind it. And I want to do everything I can to set you free and to lead you into a path of freedom so that you can be delivered from anything that the enemy is trying to do in and through your life. But our nation is being assaulted by the spirit of Jezebel that was a king or ruling as a queen. She was a queen, but she had kingly authority. And the Baal spirits in that day. Many in the church are buying into this demonic agenda and giving over to evil practices, tolerating the mindsets and the activities and offering no voice. Even if they're not involved, they're not speaking up to it. Even in issues, because it's gone so perverted now that whole denominations are endorsing same-sex marriage and LGBTQ++ agendas. This is the church that's doing, the church in America, the church in different nations worldwide are buying into this, that they are so seared in conscience and so confused by this demon spirit that those who are supposed to be representing God are being mouthpieces for the devil, being prophets of Baal. And it needs to be confronted. We can't just sit back and let it happen. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about, that we are to be stewarding in the earth. We are to steward his kingdom in the earth. Now, we see the example in the Old Testament of what Jezebel did with her rule and what she was able to get into the nation, her and Ahab. But in Revelation 2, 18 to 29, we see Jesus' message that he wrote to the church at Thyatira. And it says, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira, starting in verse 18, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I have also received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Interesting that if you overcome this spirit, you get authority over the nations. Can you see the tie-in? Can you see why this is so important right now, that we don't lose our authority by tolerating this Jezebel spirit? And this Jezebel that's talked about is a spirit that lives on today, and it's not about a certain denomination. It's whoever buys into it. It's like this is a spiritual entity that if we connect with it, we will see the consequence of it. We are warned of the consequence so that we don't imbibe of it and we have blessing instead and maintain our authority. And so the Lord showed me some things about pornography that I just want to highlight right now. And this is just such an important message that if I take longer, is that okay, Pastor? Because I just feel like I have to break this open. But the Lord showed me, and we can put this up on the screen now, that the love of money is the root of all evil, and including the porn industry. If there was no money involved, there would be no industry. This pornography is not to just, you know, satisfy someone's sexual demands. No, that's not what the industry is about. The industry is about making money. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and those who control this industry are appealing to people's sexual impulses in that, but it's not about that. It is about money. It is about money, and that's really important to know, because if we take their money away, the industry falls. Porn contributes to, influences, or initiates the following: the normalization of immorality. The reason why immorality is so normalized today, now, I'm a bit older, so when I was a young person growing up and a teenager, we're just coming into the 60s sexual revolution. But prior to that, it was the expectation of everyone that you would remain virgins until you were married. I never heard anything about any perverse thing. And, you know, it wasn't until I was, you know, 18 or 19 in high school that I started hearing little trickles of it. But even at that age, there was still the majority of people were committed to being sexually moral. The hippie movement with the sexual revolution started breaking it all down. But until then, this is very recent that this perversion has come in like it has. And so the normalization of immorality has been fueled by porn. Also, the normalization of perverse sexual acts. Some of these things never even heard about before they came out through porn. Normalization of homosexual lifestyles has been fueled by porn. Normalization of transgender orientations fueled by porn. And I think a lot of it is initiated by porn. Unwanted pregnancies have been fueled by pornography. Failed marriages, drug and alcohol addictions, venereal diseases, violence, rape, sexual aggression. Pedophilia is fueled by porn. Sex trafficking of children. Depression and suicide, financial loss and financial debt is all fueled by the porn industry. Can you see how it's affecting everything? Even people's emotional and mental well-being, their physical well-being is being assaulted through this force that we have at work within our nations today. Now, I'm going to give you some facts about porn real quickly. I took this through three different surveys that I studied. One was the Gitnux Market Data Survey on porn statistics, and these are trends that are current in 2023. Youth Pornography and Addiction Center Survey and the Barna Research Survey from 2022. So these are fairly updated stats. Okay, let me just go through them real quickly. At least one of three porn videos demonstrates sexual violence or aggression. 53% of boys and 39% of girls believe that porn is a realistic depiction of sex. Porn consumers tend to be less satisfied in relationships, less committed, and more permissive of cheating. Exploitation and trafficking are common experiences in the porn industry. In fact, listen to this. The USA is the largest consumer of child porn in the world. And Mexico is the greatest contributor of trafficked children into the industry. Isn't it interesting that on a government level, there's a pushing against even establishing borders between the two nations? Do you think there's something, some reason behind that, perhaps? We had a whistleblower in California just this last spring, took it to a hearing and everything, because there was over 300,000 unaccompanied children coming across from Mexico into the U.S., and the services that the government outsourced it to didn't even vet the people who were taking them in. And out of 300,000 children, over 80-some-odd thousand children cannot be found. They don't know where they went. And they discovered that a lot of the homes that these children were assigned to were heads of cartels and cartel members. So you know what happened with those children. But you know what? If there's no porn industry, there's not going to be any children trafficked. And if there's no one using porn, there won't be an industry. That's why we can't tolerate it. That's why we have to get everybody set free that we can possibly free. 40 million adults in the USA regularly access porn websites. 35% of all internet downloads are porn-related. 115 billion adult content searches were made worldwide in 2019, and there's more now. About 64%, listen to this, 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women say they view porn at least once a month. This is in the church, folks. Adolescents and young adults who access pornography are more likely to have sexist attitudes towards women. One in five internet pornography users report feeling controlled by their sexual desires. 56% of divorce cases, listen to this, 56% of divorce cases involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. 2.5 billion emails per day are pornographic. 93% of boys and 62% of girls are exposed to internet pornography before the age of 18, and children ages 5 to 7 are being targeted to be groomed to be connected with it as they grow older. 70% of boys have spent at least 30 consecutive minutes looking at online porn at least on one occasion, and 35% have engaged in this at least 10 times. These are just children. 67% of children admit to clearing their internet history to hide their online activity. 79% of accidental exposures to internet porn among kids take place in their own homes. And according to Barna Research 2022, 68% of church-going men and more than 50% of pastors regularly view porn. It's not okay. But we can annihilate it. We can crush this thing. Sharon Nye and her husband Jonathan, who are founders of the Hollywood House of Prayer, when they first were signed into Hollywood by the Lord, they got a building that really needed to be cleaned out spiritually, so they did, and they started doing their prayer there. But as they looked out the window, right across the street from them was a building that was owned by a producer of porn. And they were operating out of that building. And so they just kept praying against it every day, against the activity that was going on in there. And eventually that company had to leave. It was a financial issue or something. They couldn't make it. And so Sharon and her husband and team got that building. So their Hollywood House of Prayer possessed and occupied a building that was once used for porn. Come on, this is a prototype for us. We can possess and occupy. We can chase out the darkness and fill it with light. But then what happened? Before COVID, Sharon had a team over in Thailand because they operated in anti-trafficking. They rescued girls out of the sex trade. And so they were over in Bangkok and checking into a hotel. And Sharon's noticing that these busloads of men are being dropped off at the building across the street in Bangkok. And she's looking at them. There's a busload of Asian men. Some looked European. Some looked American. And so she asked the lady in the hotel, what's going on over there? What are all those men being dropped off there? She says, oh, well, that is a massive brothel. It was a huge building with lots of rooms in it. And a lot of them come in from all over the world. And there's even children and young girls in there that they can have sex with. And so they started praying against that, of course, right away, and would do prayer walks and everything and stand out in front pleading the blood of Jesus, going after it because they have faith and because they're pure. When you're pure, you have authority. And so then COVID hit. Well, that was an answer to prayer because Bangkok shut down. The sex tourists couldn't get into Bangkok because of COVID. It was... You know, so the whole industry fell apart. And what was hard on the girls is that they were just let go, which was good in a way, but then they were let go into nothing, right? And so Sharon Nye's team and many other workers there started taking them in. And Sharon got a call from her team sometime during COVID and said, hey, because of the sex tourism thing has been collapsing, there's a whole bunch of real estate for sale, and there's this building. We could really use it because we have so many girls to look after now. Can you give us permission to buy this building? We can get it for a really good price. And she said, yeah, go ahead and buy it, right? The next time she went over, right after COVID, guess what? That building is the one right across the street. They possessed and occupied that building. And now there's girls being set free in there and discipled in the Lord. I mean, it's just amazing. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to possess and occupy. He wants you to be his Elijah for today. In Malachi 4, 5, and 6, he says, behold, I'm going to send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. To do what? To prepare the way. To prepare the way of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. And that's what he's offering us as a house. That's what he's offering you as an individual, as a prophetic mantle to speak the truth in the midst of a perverse world and not have anything to do with the enemy and being able to set people free. And that anointing is available for you right now to receive. And for anyone who's struggled with it, and there will be those in this house who are struggling with it, don't be ashamed of that. We're going to fight with you, and we're going to fight for you. This is the enemy. You know, the enemy, he'll whisper in your one ear and dangle a temptation in front of you until you bite the apple. Then he runs around to the other ear and tells you how wicked you are. You are so wicked. You are so evil. You are so, so useless. He's just a liar in both ears. And we're not going to let him lie to you. You're a man, a woman of dignity. If you've been tripped up in this, there is freedom for you. And we're committed to that. And I just want to say, if you've been involved in any level of this, repent. Let me quickly just go through a couple of things here. Number one, pray. It does make a difference. Remember what happened with Sharon and I and their team. It makes a difference. Pray, pray, pray. God will hear the prayer of a righteous man. Secondly, proclaim, prophesy, and preach. Come on, we got to start talking about this. Start up conversations. Christians don't like to talk about this, but we can't talk about it just like, oh, it's so bad and it's so terrible. No, you just start preaching the truth. Get on your YouTube or whatever. You know, even if you've only got 15 followers, that's 15 people that need to hear it. Because when they hear what you say, then they can share with their 15 people each. You'll share with their 15 people each. And we can get this word out and we can let the whole world know we're not going for this. We can raise the bar. Proclaim, preach, prophesy. Start conversations. Your words have power. Elijah had to confront the prophets of Baal with words. Number three, build collaborative relationships with those who are anointed to successfully release people from sexual addictions and pornography. Immorality. And there are ministries that God has raised up that have good fruit. Check out the fruit, but you know, they have good fruit and people are being set free and they're being established in the Lord. So even as a church, we can build collaborative relationships with those who can set people free. You don't have to do it all yourself. You just build relationships together and we can share, you know, resources and tools that will be able to help. We can connect with different trafficking organizations and outreaches and evangelism. Number four, take action. Take action. We can all do something. We could get out there and evangelize and let people know that there's hope for them. Many of them who are addicted with sexual addiction or any other kind of addiction, they don't even know there's hope. They're trying to fight it, but they're so oppressed, the devil has a grip on them, that they can't do it themselves. They need you. And we have authority to set the captives free. And so let's take action, and let's talk to our government, and let's run for government. Let's run for the school board. Let's have input into these things. Purify the heart, align the heart with God, and then go out and be a voice. And again, be a voice in every realm of influence. But when we go out in these realms of influence, we have to have authority. The devil can't have something in us. We have to be purified so that we can exercise true authority. And then I think we need to teach on sexual purity, the church, and let our communities know what it's all about. There's people out there that think, oh, yeah, you know, sexual perversion is just a normal part. I mean, why did God create sexual organs if he didn't want you to use them? Well, of course, everything has a purpose and a good purpose. But it's not outside of his will. And people are perishing for lack of knowledge. And why? Because we, the church, aren't even teaching it. A lot of our young people don't even know why you don't have sex before marriage. A lot of young people today do not know why they shouldn't gaze on porn stuff. They don't know why, because we haven't taught them. There's not a lot of teaching being done in the average church on this subject. And it's not enough just to go into a youth group and say, naughty, naughty, you shouldn't be doing this before the time. You have to show the why. You have to give them the understanding. What is the heart of God behind this? And we can all be a part of this. We can address this with our neighbors. We can address it, you know, anywhere in the world, you'll find a need for a voice and some action. And I'm excited about what God can do, because I'm telling you, His arm is not too short that He cannot save, and His power is not diminished. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is going to work through His church. If He can find, His eyes are moving to and fro throughout the earth to find someone whose heart is completely His. And when He finds them, it says He will show Himself strong on their behalf. Imagine what this world would look like if we, the church, are so aligned and we clean out our own portals. We clean out the church. What if we had a church that where there was not one even speck of sexual perversion or immorality, not in the mind, not in the heart, and not in any conversation, not in any activity, 100% pure. Can you imagine what we could carry and give to the world? Our streets could be filled with the knowledge of the fear of the Lord, and there could be a turning and a conviction of people's hearts. But if we, the church, are all a bunch of muck, come on, 67% of men, 15% of women in the church, that's a big percentage of people that are given over to immorality and junk. And we wonder why we don't have power. We wonder why we have no authority. Duh. We wonder why the enemy's working in our midst. We wonder why there's so many mentally ill people in the world. We wonder why marriages are falling apart. It's because covenants are broken right, left, and center. And even in the church, we've got leaders in the church, church leaders that are violating righteous morals and then making a big public display of it and then getting back into the pulpits with the endorsement of a whole bunch of other leaders. Have we gone insane? Really? We need to bring redemption. We need to bring healing. We need to bring restoration for sure. But we cannot celebrate sin. We cannot. We need to save people from their sin, just like how Jesus came to do, and deliver people and have a really good example of godliness so that our children will not be confused. Our children in elementary school levels are so sexually confused, it is scary. And if they're sexually confused, families are going to be destroyed. Their futures will be destroyed. Finances will be destroyed. I mean, just the devil knows what he's doing. And he's appealing to a desire that God put in each person. A healthy, holy desire. And the enemy's saying, I'll take that desire and I'll show you how to use it for me. And we're biting into the apple. Time to release. What happens when we do? When we repent and we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. All of it. That's awesome. He did it all for us. How easy is that? It's way easier than being bound by it, that's for sure, right? So let's pray right now. First of all, I want to pray just with every head bowed, and this is in the house and online, and for those that are watching later, this might be one of the most important messages you ever heard, depending on where you are in your life right now. But if you have been harassed by the enemy, and if you have been lured by him, we're going to fight him off you today. And we're coming into agreement with the power of God and His conviction to come into your life where you will say in your heart right now, I'm done with this. And by the way, I want to address this because a lot of it we tolerate, Jezebel. We tolerate immorality on movies. I got convicted of this myself because sometimes you'll watch a movie and there'll be a bedroom scene in it and you think, oh, I don't like that scene, but it's just going to be for a second and it'll pass over and I'll close my eyes during it. But we keep watching it, but we're fueling the box office on that. You can't do it. And some of us have to raise the bar higher than we've ever raised it before and watch the words that we speak and what we're listening to and what we're watching. Put a guard over our eyes, put a guard over our ears like never before. And so, Father, I'm asking right now for a conviction to come to everyone here. And those that have been harassed, that they will say, I repent, Lord. I'm turning from my sin. And if that's you and you sincerely bring your heart before the Lord like that, guess what? He is so happy. He is so relieved. And I just speak right now a freedom to you through the power of the blood of Jesus, where God promises to forgive you and to cleanse you of all that unrighteousness. And we cut off any ungodly soul ties. We cut off demonic infiltration. We speak healing into bodies in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that this will be the beginning of an outworking of freedom for your people. And by all means, get more ministry and sign up for a Mashah session and get free, because God loves you so much. He wants you free. And we in this house, we love you and we want you free. But now, Lord, for everyone that wants to take a stand for you, everyone who wants to be a voice for you, one of your prophets of morality, one of your prophets who raised the bar, if that's you, I want you to stand to your feet, because I'm just going to release an anointing over you right now that your voice will count. And God will give you creative ideas on your part, on what he has you to do. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to stand behind a pulpit or anything like that. He's going to give each of you individually what he's calling you to do. Some of you are going to be making decrees in prayer. Others are going to be writing articles. Others are going to go online. Others are going to do outreaches. Whatever it is, God is going to speak to you, but we can all be anointed by him for this purpose. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release an Elijah mantle, on your church right now, Lord God. Lord, that we'll be able to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, Lord God, and that we will see immorality brought down in the church first and then in the world, Lord God, and that we will see you prevail. Because, Lord, you said that if we overcome, you give us authority in the nations. And so we receive that now in Jesus' mighty name. And we receive a purity of spirit, Lord God. We receive a purity of spirit. And I think of our children, Lord. We want our children to be so protected. And, Lord, we just even celebrate, Lord, Andrew and Frida's new baby, Lord God, is so beautiful. And we think of all these beautiful little children we have in Shiloh, and we want every single one of them to be covered and protected and kept sound, Lord God. All of our children, our grandchildren, Lord, that we would be committed as a body to purity for their sake, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.